ESPN 107.3 presents Wild at Heart, bringing outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond. Wild at Heart, powered by Cowtown USA, Colg's Steakhouse and Grill, J. Cook Fly Rods, The Outdoor Superstore, Shady Lanes Cabins and Motel, Advanced Performance Shooting, Missouri Trappers Association, Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, and State Farm agent Michelle Beckett. Now, here's Wild at Heart on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome to Wild at Heart, right here on ESPN 107.3 FM and a pulse of the Ozarks, beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I'm your host, Bill Cooper, a member of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, and my co-host, Jerry Cook, he's out today. But John Francis, the sound man, is here, and pretty soon, a little bit later, we'll have Tommy Bench coming in. In the studio with us, too, we've got Delbert Click from the Gasnade Fishing Club, and on the line, we've got Ryan Walker from the Ozark Smallmouth Alliance, and we'll be catching up with Ryan here in just a few moments. But welcome to Wild at Heart. We're a bunch of red-blooded Americans who remember and cherish our outdoor heritage. We love America and support the Second Amendment. We stand for our national anthem, say please and thank you, and we open doors for the ladies. We hunt, fish, trap, shoot, float, camp, and explore in God's country, the Missouri Ozarks, right out your back door and occasionally a few points beyond. Join us each week, Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Midmo, ESPN 107.3 FM, or catch us Sundays at 8 a.m. or anytime on ESPN1073.com. This segment of Wild at Heart is brought to you by J. Cook Fly Rods, custom fly rods plus everything you need for fly fishing, located in Salem, Missouri, and Harvey's Alley Spring Canoe Rental, located on the crystal clear Jack's Fork River. Well, hey, Delbert, we want to give you a welcome, man. Glad you can make it in here to ESPN. We're Dale, you go by Dale. I've heard your sister talk about you, Tracy Miller. Let's give her a shout-out.
Hey, UPS. Tracy, is what's she, going on?
Is she working?
I think she is today.
Did you tell her you was going to be on the radio?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
I bet she's listening. You better tell her how much you love her, sing happy birthday, and everything you can think of.
Oh, she gets me.
Hey, I worked with Tracy for years. Boy, she saved our skin lots of times, you know.
She's probably saved mine quite a few, too.
I bet she has. But, Tracy, anyway, thinking about you, don't call me to work for UPS this winter either. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But we've got on the line Ryan Walker. Let's see if we can talk to him, John. Are you with us, Ryan?
Hey, I am here, guys. How are y'all doing?
Hey, we're having a big time already, and we hadn't even started talking about fishing yet.
Yeah. If it's this good now, imagine how good it's going to get.
Hey, it's going to get better as the show goes on for sure. But got two good fishermen to talk to here for the next couple of segments. And, Ryan, you're with the Ozark Smallmouth Alliance?
Ozark Smallmouth Alliance, yes, sir.
Yeah. And where are you guys based out of?
So, well, we're geographically dispersed, just like the name implies. We care about smallmouth all over the Ozarks, all four states. I'm based southwest Missouri, southwest of Springfield. I've got guys over in the eastern side of the state, outside of St. Louis, Cape Girardeau, around Farmington. I've got a couple of guys down in Arkansas. I've got a guy in Oklahoma.
Wow. Well, you know, smallmouth fishermen are scattered all over, but they all got the same heart, that's for sure. They love those big brown bass.
Nothing like a big old bronzie to get your day going. And we sure love them, and we sure try to, you know,
take care of them.
The ethics of catch and release. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, good deal. I follow you guys some. I'm a big fan of smallmouth fishing. I've caught a couple of dandies this summer. Let me back up. I hooked a couple of really big smallmouth this summer. off at my kayak, I'm always trying to take photographs of them, you know, and that's what got me in trouble with the second one, too. I was actually filming a couple of guys on the Gasconade and hooked a 4-pound-plus smallmouth, had him up to the boat. I'm in a kayak, and I got in front of these guys and tossed a big buzz bait at about 12:30 and caught this big fish right off the bat. And I'm hollering at these guys to paddle faster so they can catch up and hand the rod to them, maybe be able to video them. handling this fish, and they're screaming all the time, get it in a boat, you know, get it in a boat. Well, I let it get off. So they gave me.
And they get proportionally bigger the farther away you get from them, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, good times. But there's a big event coming up in Pulaski County. I understand you guys are involved in, and Dale is here to help answer some of the questions about this event as well. But I understand you're heavily involved too. But Karen Hood with the Pulaski County Tourism Commission over in the Waynesville St. Roberts area, Pulaski County Tourism, as well as the Waynesville St. Roberts Chamber of Commerce, are involved big time in this River Bassin Tournament that's coming up September 21 through the 23rd. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And can you give me some background on the event?
You want me or you want Dale?
Well, both of you. Don't be afraid to speak up.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Don't everybody talk at once.
Oh, we do that all the time.
So River Bassin is kind of the brain or love child of a gentleman named Drew Gregory. Drew Gregory is a Jackson Kayak employee, and Drew's actually kind of infamous or famous for developing one of the very first true angling kayaks on the market, and that would be the Coosa, aptly named after the Coosa River near where they're built. But
Coosa River, no. What state's that in? Let me back up a hair.
It's Tennessee.
Tennessee. Okay.
Yep. All Jackson's kayaks are made proudly in America, and outside of a small town in Tennessee. And Drew came up with this River Bassin. We're all river rats, and we've been river rats all our lives, and Drew's no different. And so he started the River Bassin Tournament Trail several years ago to get guys like us involved in tournament fishing. And his goal for the program was you know, more fun than anything. You know, we all know about the big money lake tournaments and stuff like that, and those are a lot of fun and great, but for guys that don't have the, you know, can't afford the $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 bass boat, there's guys like us that have kayaks and spend a lot of time fishing rivers. And so Drew came up with the River Bassin concept and kept it regional for a little while and then moved it more national. And as it grew, you know, he developed, you know, club series and an online series, and you know, the evolution of the national championship is that.
Well, it looks so like from everything I've seen, it looks like this is going to be a pretty large event.
Well, yeah, and I couldn't even hazard a guess on how many folks are going to be there. I can't remember how many were at last year's event. I know that we held a regional event last year in conjunction with another big event that we do that I think had 59 or 60 anglers just for a small regional event.
Wow.
This one's going to bring, you know, all the guys that fish river bassin nationally in, because, you know, just like FLW or the Bass Series, there's angler of the year points, stuff like that they're going to come in and try to capitalize on.
You bet. So you guys could conceivably have, what, 200 or 300 anglers from around the country? Do you expect that many?
You know, it wouldn't shock me. I'm hesitant to give a number.
Sure.
But it'll be a large turnout for sure. There's $75,000 on the line in cash and prizes.
Wow, that'll draw some people.
Yeah.
If I wasn't busy, I'd come over.
Sure. Well, we'd love to have you. Yeah. And so there's several different divisions in it. There's a youth division and a individual division and a teams division. And this year is a new division called the Super Teams, which is five anglers that compete for cash and prizes as well. So And Drew has a television show, an online television show called Hooked on Wild Waters, and he'll be shooting an episode of that up in Pulaski County with us when he comes over here in a couple of weeks. So that'll bring some really good exposure, you know, to the area. Some of us fishermen are on the fence about how much exposure is good exposure. But
smallmouth fishermen tend to be that way. You know, they don't like to give up.
Yeah.
Don't like to give up their hot spots for sure. But these kayak anglers are usually pretty good fishermen. Man, I love it myself. And the deal with kayaks, you know, you go places where the jet boat can't get. You can get into some tight spots that other boats and other people just won't attempt to get to. So I think your Gasconade River is going to get picked over during this event. But good thing, though, I mean, these guys are catch and release fishermen as well. So I think we can have confidence that they'll handle the fish well and take care of the resource. But I bet Karen Hood is beside herself. I've known her for several years. I've dealt with her through the Missouri Outdoor Communicators. In fact, we had our annual conference there in St. Roberts 1 year, and those guys really took care of us. So I'm sure that they're going to do well with this fishing tournament as well. I guess you've entered.
Oh yeah.
You paid your dues already?
Everything's paid up. We're ready to go. I'm part of the individual team and I'm part of a super team as well. So
are you paying an
interest? Yeah.
Do you pay an interest fee for each one of those categories?
Yeah, but it's kind of graduated. I've got a look on the. I don't trust my memory to anything. I'm sure you understand that.
I do big time.
Yeah, no, it's a slippery slope. So
yeah. Hey, listen, can I get you to hang on just a minute here? We're already through this first segment here. We need to take a break. But folks, stay with us. You're traveling down the highway. We'll have. Ryan and Delbert back in about 3 minutes. I'm Bill Cooper, and this is Wild at Heart.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart on ESPN 107.3 FM. This segment is brought to you by Cowtown USA, home of Can-Am, ATVs, and UTVs. And living the dream outdoor properties, it's not just land. It's a lifestyle, and we live it. We've been talking about a river bassing tournament that's coming up in Pulaski County, September 21 to the 23rd. Going to be some fabulous fishermen from all over the country, and they're kayaks fishing for smallmouth bass on the famous Gasconade River.
That's right.
That's right. Dale, all of us that live in this part of the country very long, if we're fishermen, we've been on the Gasconade River.
Man, it's like, I don't know, the home water. So, you know, I hope everybody shows up for that. Fort Leonard Wood area, guys on post, you know, everybody come out. It's going to be a big deal.
It really is, and it's always interesting, you know, when you get a mix of people from all over the country, how things are going to pan out, because they're all good fishermen, but the local guys have a little bit of an edge because they know the river.
Yeah, they do, but you know what? I mean, I got to say I'm biased. The kayak fishermen are probably the better fishermen, you know.
Go start some arguments now. But I would almost have to agree with you, because I'm a kayak fisherman too, and I prefer that over, you know, the big boats racing around, that sort of thing, but I do some of that too. I kind of have to do it all with the position I'm in. But I do see the kayak fishermen pulling out, catching nice fish on a very regular basis. Again, it's because they get areas that quite often don't receive the pressure. Got an interesting question here for you, Ryan. We were talking about fishing or angling kayaks. What's the difference, just so our listeners, maybe some beginners might be listening to us, what's the difference in a fishing kayak and a regular kayak?
So we categorize a regular into a category called recreational, and the two are not mutually exclusive, right? So you can still fish from a recreational kayak with no problems. The angling kayak is geared more towards us guys that fish and carry gear. The bass boat guys have their boats with this, rod holders and all this they have. So they've incorporated some of that stuff into an angling kayak. So you've got a little bit more stability so you can stand up in it. You've got really good maneuverability so that you can get through the areas that you need to get through without fear of tipping over or getting sidewalled or something. And then they've also built in lots of different convenience accessories like rod holders or a place to keep your hog trough, which is what you're going to measure your fish on, or wells to keep tackle in. It's really fairly self-explanatory. The angling kayak is purpose-built for somebody who's on the river or on the lake that's going to fish, and the recreational kayak is more just a boater that's going to be paddling around and enjoying the sunshine and the outdoors.
Well, that's a very good description. I think people won't have any problem determining the difference now when they're looking at them, but the angling kayak, as you put all those add-ons, are you can buy them totally tricked out, I suppose. The dollar signs go up, don't they?
They do, and so we start anywhere around $700 and just go up from there, and the sky is kind of the limit as far as what you want to spend. And you really have to weigh how much you're going to be fishing versus how much tournament fishing you're going to be doing and going to be using.
Yeah. You're cutting out on me there just a little bit. But you can even get the kayaks with the paddles built right in, or you can put trolling motors on as well.
Yeah, they've really come a long way. So several years back, we saw the advent of the pedal drive system. Hobie was the first one to come out with that, and then a couple other companies followed suit, Native and Confluence, et cetera, so on. And now there's boats that have torpedo drives, which are lithium battery powered motors, and there's trolling motor mounts. You can even put power poles on the back of a kayak.
Power poles on a kayak. And what they're for, John's asked what power poles are. That they're actually an anchor system. They're kind of hydraulic. They'll go down once you push a button and bury in the bottom of the river to hold you in place.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But
they're
so
pretty slick.
So, Bill, do you stand up in your kayak?
Yes, I do.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. I fall out, too.
that's what I would do, yeah.
But, see, I'm a real old-timer, John. I've been standing up in canoes for decades, and there's actually a core of us that carry long poles with us. We actually pole canoes, and it's really a cool deal. In fact, I was on Current River many years ago, and I came around the corner. It was a busy weekend. I had on my big broad-rim hat and my fancy fishing shirt, and I come around the corner, and some dude asked me. He'd been drinking a little bit. He said, "Are you from Italy?" I said, "Yeah, I'm from Italy. They pole boats in Italy." You know?
That was me.
Was that you?
No, it really wasn't.
Yeah, you got that Italian accent down.
I got a heavy Italian accent, right. Exactly. Well, go around the next corner, the guy asked me, "You from Louisiana?" He's like, pole boats in Louisiana.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's each to his own, I suppose, but the fishing kayaks are grand pieces of equipment. I've got one that's not super tricked out for sure, but, boy, I love it. The rod holder is what I love most because you can actually have, you know, several rods with you, and you've always got them pre-rigged so that you can fish all the columns of the water. But let's get back to the tournament, guys. Ryan, where are they going to fish on the Gasconade? Is there a radius that they're allowed to cover, or what's the rules?
Yeah, yes, sir. So all of the river bass and in-person events have a radius from the host location. And this year the host location, obviously, is on the Gasconade. And so what we have basically is a 60-mile radius from that host location. 60-mile, and that's as the crow fly. It's normally 50, and I believe Drew has upped it to 60 for the River Bassin Championship. And anybody that knows the Ozarks knows that you can't go 60 miles in any direction without falling into a smallmouth creek somewhere. So it's going to bring a whole host of waters into play. And you know, I found it interesting that, you know, you said the locals will have the locals will have a lot of the advantage, and that is absolutely true. But we've got locals fishing that are local to the Niangua. You've got locals fishing that may be local to the Ribidoux. Heck, I even think if I looked at the map right, the Upper James will be in bounds for this tournament.
Really?
So they're not
all going to be on the Gasconade per se then?
Well, I'm going to be fishing the home water.
Dale says he's going to stay on the Gasconade.
I got to give those Ozark boys a run.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I expect you guys to do well, too, Dale.
We fish together outside of here. Yeah, I appreciate it. Ryan's a great guy, and some of the other people we fish with there with his group, too.
Yeah. So, and where's the center of activity? Where's everybody going to meet and take off from?
Dale's at Ruby's?
Yeah, it's Ruby's Landing off of 17 Highway.
Ruby's Landing, yep.
Off of 17. So is that north of
Landing? It's like it's going towards Crocker.
Gotcha.
Crocker area, about
gotcha.
3 or 4 miles past... past Crocker Bridge there on the left.
Okay. So, and everybody's going to take off from that same point then and go to wherever they're going? All going to leave at the same time?
No, it's a Roadrunner Start. So there's
Roadrunner Start. Now, what's that
line.
Mean? What does that mean? Describe that to us.
So there's a lines in time and a last fish time. So lines in, you can be on your water when lines in is ready. You don't have to start from a central point. There's no shotgun start. So if you're fishing, let's say you're fishing the Niangua around Lead Mine, you can be sitting on the boat ramp or on the water in your stretch of water, and when the line's in time comes, you can start fishing, and that's when they'll start accepting fish through the electronic system.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of on the honor system then.
Whoever knew an honor fisherman? we've kind of taken that out of it. So in order to fish in this tournament, you've got to have location services turned on your smartphone. So basically what happens is,
that's a high-tech tournament.
Well, as high-tech as we can get, you take a picture of your fish and you upload it to the River Bassin software site, and it automatically... While it doesn't geolocate your exact position, it'll get you close enough to tell that, okay, well, he's inbounds, and this fish was submitted at 6:34 a.m. So and the picture was taken at 6:34. It doesn't really matter when it was submitted, as long as it's not taken and or.
Oh, we lose him? I think we lost him there, Dale.
Oh, well, he'll be back. I don't know if they're going to have an identifier on that. Usually that's normally what they do is they'll also put out an identifier the morning of.
I muted my phone, guys.
Yeah, we lost you there for a second. Just pick up where you were. We only got about a minute and a half or so left anyway, so we can kind of start a wrap up here.
Right. So basically you'll be on your spot at the lines in time. Submit your fish anytime after that. If you've got location services on, it'll tell us the time that the picture was taken, and we'll know if you're legal. We have an identifier that will be given out late the night before, and that'll have to be on a card or on your hand and in the picture visible somewhere, and we will be using a hog trough type measuring device. There's a couple of different measuring devices that are allowed. One thing that'll interest everybody that I don't think has been too publicly broadcast yet, but the top 20% of this tournament, the top 20% winners in this tournament get an automatic bid into the KBF Kayak Bass Fishing National Championship.
Oh, so it
and
will
that's
happen.
A big deal, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So there could be step-ups from this tournament.
Absolutely.
Way to go, Ryan, and not letting me enter your super team then. keep that one to yourself.
I don't want to drag your average down, Dale. You guys are sitting next to one heck of a good fisherman right there. That man can catch fish, and he can catch fish with the best of them. Plus,
I know,
darn good man.
I've known him through the grapevine for a long, long time. I worked with his sister Tracy at UPS for 15, 20 years or so. She's always telling me about his fishing.
Oh, I had such a great career with UPS also.
Yeah. Yeah, I did 34 years. That's about twice what you did, Del.
Yeah, 17? I did half of that. It's,
yeah.
I got out on good behavior.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they turned me loose because of good behavior. I was just ready to go. But, boy, this, again, is a great event that's coming up in Pulaski County, September 21 through 23rd. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday called a River Bassin Tournament. And you can get a hold of Karen Hood with Pulaski County Tourism, and you can actually call her at 573-336-6355. Ryan, are there other numbers or folks that could get a hold of if they need more information about this great tournament?
So, yeah, there's a couple of different things they can do. They can go to riverbassintrail.com.
Riverbassintrail.com. Okay.
Yep. You can go to OzarkSmallmouthAlliance.com and find it through there, or you can also find it by just searching both of those same parameters on Facebook. And I might add, if you don't mind, real quick, and I'll
sure.
make it quick, Friday's going to be a lot of fun. Saturday's tournament day. Friday, we're going to have we're going to have all kinds of vendors and booths, and I'll be there with Ozark Smallmouth Alliance and with Ozark Mountain Trading Company with kayak demos, and there's going to be raffles and drawings and all kinds of stuff on that first day. So I'd encourage people to come out the Friday before and have some fellowship with your fellow anglers before you won't talk to each other the next day. So just thought I'd get that in there real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been notified by the engineer that we've got more time if we want it, because we have a pre-recorded segment for the third segment, and that guy kind of shorted us a little bit this week, I think. So we do have more time to talk about. I want to ask you, now this is getting down to the nitty-gritty. I'm not going to ask you to give away your honey holes or anything like that, but what do you think will be some of the most popular baits that will be thrown during this tournament?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah.
Give it away.
Yeah, no, this
yeah, I may sneak in this tournament at the last minute.
Yeah. The Ned Rig is probably going to be pretty important, given the time of year, and if we can get a couple of good cool fronts in between now and then, which it looks like we're going to get, crankbait is going to be probably pretty important. You know, guys, we talk about this being a smallmouth tournament, but I'd almost bet you it's won by a mixed bag of fish, so largemouth and smallmouth. And we all know on the Largasconade that there's some pretty big largemouth swimming around down there. So there's, you know, your typical fall patterns are going to come into play. The Ned's always going to be your numbers bait on the river. Crawfish patterns like the HD craw.
Yeah, well, that's been a killer around here this year. Lots of big fish.
Pretty good ones.
Yeah.
The Z-Man craw has been, the big just launch this year is kind of, in my guide service, has kind of been my go-to. So all that stuff I think is going to be in play.
Plus,
like I said, we're coming into crankbait time again, so there'll be some big fish caught on.
And one of my favorite standbys I've used for as long as they've come out is a good old pearl fluke. I catch smallmouth on those almost every time I go. Everybody has their favorite baits. And of course, you know, I hooked that big one that I didn't get in the boat on a huge buzz bait at 12:30. That was quite a surprise. So, you know, fish, you know, always know exactly where they're going to be or what they're going to do or what they're going to eat. But got to tell you, man, you know, I'm in the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. So I ought to be in this
deal.
Hey, not as a fisherman, though, Dale. I got inducted as a rider. So my wife can still outfish
me.
Anybody
can tell stories.
Anybody can tell stories. Exactly right. Well, man, it's been a pleasure to have you guys on the show. And I wish you guys both good luck. It'd be great to hear a local name win this thing. But you're going to be up against stiff competition. All right, we're going to get ready to go to break here. I'm Bill Cooper with Wild at Heart. In the next segment, we're going to listen to Mr. Ray I. We'll be right back.
Ryan, that's a 2X.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Lord, I hope this day. I should be thankful, Lord, I know.
I would like to welcome everyone back to Wild at Heart Radio. This is your guest host, Ray I. Came back with a little Don Williams. I hope your day is good, and we hope that everyone's day is good. Coming up with a great interview about something I believe everyone's really going to enjoy. But before we get to our guest, we have a little intro music. Here we go.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be et at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns.
We've got a great company we've been working with down in Mountain Grove, Missouri, Dove Creek Cattle Company. They've got a new beef jerky, the best damn beef jerky. You're all familiar with that, but we've got a new flavor. We're going to run out and grab Michelle Johnson, get an update. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Great, great. Hey, tell us about this new flavor. Everybody's getting a little excited. I've got a lot of input. I kind of put a little bit of feelers out to some of the listeners and our sponsors and those that have tried the beef jerky about a new flavor, and they seem pretty excited about it. So tell us what it is and when it's available.
We actually have two new flavors coming out. We have got a mild pepper, which is actually on the order of our original, but without quite the heat. So it's a little milder version. Everybody's just loving it. So if our original was just a little bit too warm for you, this will be perfect. And the other one is a teriyaki. And, oh, my gosh, the teriyaki is absolutely amazing. Can't say enough about it. I mean, people are speechless when they try it. It is absolutely amazing. Super tender. It's really tasty. It is, it's the epitome of akahushi beef. It's just wonderful.
Okay. Well, I'm excited about this one. I can't wait to try it. I told our friend John Sabati in Hawaii he was coming out with this, and he got all excited. So he couldn't wait. So when you get a chance, here I am begging again, send me some samples, and we'll try it live on the air on the radio. But I am avoiding Brandon Butler from the Conservation Federation of Missouri because he gets way too many free samples.
Okay. Well, hey, we'll have
fun. Yeah. You got a lot going on there with the Dove Creek Cattle Company, Wagyu. I see you've been doing some different things. So where can people find the beef and the beef jerky? Are you in some retail places now, right?
Yes, we're getting to be all over. Our jerky can be found at several of the health food stores around, Jean's Health Mart in Ava, Meadowbrook Health Food Stores here in Mountain Grove, the International Farmers Market in West Plains, our friends down at Rockbridge Trout Farm. So several places around have got that, and it's also available at Anderson's Gun Shop there in Mountain View. Marie's Gun Shop, and it's also available at the Cranberry Merchant in Kabul. Awesome store. You need to go check that one out. Also, our beef is now available at the Hilton Level 2 restaurant in Branson. We're super excited about that. Yeah, and it's also available at the Branson Center Stage Grill. It's just amazing.
And we're expanding. Yeah. It's going to be going more. Great stuff. And, of course, they can order right from the website, right?
Yes, they can. They can order at DoveCreekWagyu.com. That's Dove Creek Wagyu is WAGYU.com. And we have a meat page. Just go to the meat page and you'll see the jersey right there along with a wonderful commercial from you, Ray.
This is great news. Awesome stuff. We did the radio remote down there at Murray's and everybody just had a great time, and except for that Brandon Butler guy that took all the samples. But other than that, I'm not bitter or angry or anything. What good stuff. That was a great time and a great exposure for the product. I want to tell them, until someone tries this beef jerky, there's no way you can explain it to them.
No, it's like a steak jerky. But we have people tell us it's like a steak jerky, and that once you start eating it, you can't quit.
Isn't that the truth? All right, give us that website one more time.
DoveCreekWagyu.com.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you for taking the time to get with us on the show. Give us that update. I've been wanting to get you on and let you tell everybody about the new flavor. And really excited now that I see this is the first I heard that you've reduced the heat in the first one, which is, for a lot of people, it's great. They like that. But there were some that said, a little too spicy for them. So this is absolutely perfect.
Yes. Everybody loves the flavor, but just a smidge too much heat for a few people.
All righty. Well, thank you, Michelle. And take care, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you. You too.
That was Michelle Johnson with Dove Creek Wagyu Cattle Company. And that website again is DoveCreekWagyu.com. You can just Google Dove Creek Cattle Company. It'll come up, Facebook page and the website. And I really, really think you should try this beef jerky because it doesn't get any better than this. With that, we're going to pitch it back to the show, back to Wild at Heart, and we'll see you all on the other side.
Hey, Bill, didn't you bring in some of that Wagyu?
Absolutely.
One day?
Yeah, I think you guys fought over this.
I know. Thing. It was really good.
Oh, incredible. Meats, steaks. She sent me some steaks here a while back.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I was supposed to share those.
Well, I noticed. I didn't see any of those. Yeah.
That didn't last long at the house. But, boy, those that jerky they make is best I've ever had.
Yeah, it's kind of soft, you know. It's not that kind
that
sticks in your teeth and hard to chew. Exactly. Right. It's really, really good.
Well, here in the next segment, we got kind of a special announcement coming up. Tommy Bench, who does Time for Tommy for us, well, his job duties are going to expand.
All
We're going to talk about the next segment. I'll be right back.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart, your source for information about what's going on in the world of outdoor recreation in the Ozarks and points beyond. This segment of our show is brought to you by Shady Lane Cabins and Motel in Eminence, offering you a comfortable night's sleep after a long day on the river. Remember, you can always listen to Wild at Heart anytime you want at our website, ESPN1073.com. Just click Programming in Wild at Heart, or ask Alexa to play the Wild at Heart podcast from TuneIn Radio. She'll be happy to play last week's show for you. Welcome back to Wild at Heart. Hey, Bill Cooper and Tommy Bench just came in the studio. I actually had to go out on the parking lot. He was out there telling fishing stories.
Well, you know that's what I'm best at doing anyway.
Yeah, I know that. I don't know if you're a better fisherman or a better fishing storyteller.
I don't know. I'm pretty good at, I wouldn't say, I'd say I'm better at the storytelling, just being honest.
Hey, he's just being modest now. But we've got some exciting news here at the station. Tommy Bench is actually going to become the host of Wild at Heart here in just a couple of weeks, and I think he's a little bit excited about that, but I'm not going to let him talk about that right now. I'm not going to let him talk about how excited he is, and I know I'm excited for him. The station's excited to have him come on because he's kind of a local boy, I guess, raised in the Waynesville area, and it's well known as a smallmouth fisherman and guide on the Upper Gasconade, and I've been with him a few times and really haven't known Tommy all that long, but I have discovered in a short period of time that he's got what it takes to make it an outdoor communication because he's a superb storyteller.
Well, I was expecting Tommy to come in with a Get It in the Boat t-shirt.
That was my intentions, was to have them made in bulk and, you know, trademark that slogan. And that way someone didn't beat me to the punch.
Right,
I know that's what's going to happen. Someone's going to be like, that's a great slogan. I'm going to have to go make a bunch of T-shirts.
Yeah,
but you're going to have to leave my name out of it.
You kind of developed that slogan, didn't you?
No, I think you did.
It'll be Get It in the Boat, and then the little tiny letters, Bill Cooper.
Yeah. I actually told that story again just a few moments ago.
I heard you. I was listening on the way up here. Yeah.
But, what a good time we had that day. And, you know, Milo still even rags me about that.
Oh, I bet. He was more upset than I was. He looked at me and he said, he said, that was a four-pounder.
Yeah.
I said, that was a good one, that's for sure.
Well, since it got away, I think it was a five-pounder.
It was a good fish. It was definitely the biggest fish of the day, and we hated to see it get lost. But
oh yeah, goofy things happen, and I'd just done that a month prior on the Merrimack, doing basically the same thing, trying to take pictures of it while it's still in the water, you know. And it disappeared.
Yeah. it happens. Hey, we've all been there.
Yeah, but once in a while it actually works out, and I get some decent pictures about once every 10 years. But tell me what I want to do in this segment, and boy, you know how quickly these segments go by. I want us to kind of reintroduce you and give your history. You grew up in the area where you're still living.
Yeah, absolutely. I was born and raised there. I'm a homebody. I know when I was growing up, all my classmates, they said, "I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to move away." And I thought, man, I love this place. I never want to leave. You know, I want to live here and hold down the same roots that my grandfather and my great grandfather and all them, you know, carried on. That's where our grew up, on the gravel road right down the river. I mean, you know, Tom Huck is one of my favorite stories of all time. Just, I love the old times. And, you know, living out in the country, nothing against anybody that lives in city limits. That's just my forte. I prefer the country living.
Oh, I do, too.
And I think we've got it all out there. We've got great turkey hunting. We've got great deer hunting. We've got awesome smallmouth fishing, largemouth fishing, farm ponds. You name it. There's mushrooms out there. I can't think of anything that any place has that we don't. They may have something a little bit bigger or better, but we've still got pretty good.
Yeah, when you looked at, hey, the whole scale of things, the Missouri Ozarks is a little piece of heaven.
It is.
And of course, I'm not native here. I was a swamp rat. You know, you guys talk about being river rats. Well, I was down in southeast Missouri in the Tupelo Cypress swamps, mm-hmm. and grew up with the cottonmouths and lots of good fishing. We had a bayou that ran through our farm, came right out of the Mississippi River, never knew what you was going to catch, but it was usually big.
Oh, I can imagine.
So much fun. So, from that same way, I can relate to what you're saying. Although, when I got up a little bigger and got to travel just a little bit, and I found the Ozarks, I thought the whole world was flat, man.
Well, it's a different place. If you've never been here, just like, I've been guiding now for going on 11 years, and I've heard this numerous, numerous times. A client of mine will say, "You literally live in heaven. You've got it all. There's nothing here you don't have." You know, first of all, the smallmouth and the beautiful streams. It's nothing like nothing against Lake of the Ozarks, folks, but you know, they'll take a river scene over that lake scene any day. Anyone, almost any client I've ever taken will say that.
Yeah, there's just something captivating about the Ozarks, and of course, it hasn't always been so captivating. And within my lifetime, I've seen the Ozarks develop in a great, natural, beautiful thing because, you know, it's just 1930s, John, that much of this area had been, boy, just devastated by the railroad and timber company. They clear cut this whole region. You know, we're looking at second growth forest now that has grown back, and boy, it got so bad. After the railroad companies left, a lot of people trying to stay on in the hills and trying to farm and that sort of thing. And they had the bad habit of burning every year, you know, which just created more and more erosion problems. And things got so bad that the Ozarks was the most economically depressed area of the United States for a while. Then the U.S. Forest Service began buying up properties and reestablishing forests. Then our conservation department come on the scene. And those two agencies have just done incredible things in the last several decades, you know, to bring all this back and create the beauty that you and I are so crazy about today.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of people criticize those departments, but they don't think about the great things they have done for us, you know.
Exactly. Every agency has its problems, and particularly when you get as big as the Forest Service and big as our Missouri Department of Conservation, there are going to be mistakes made. But, hey, you take the checks and balances and you look at the spreadsheets of the good over the bad, the good far outweighs the mistakes that the department had made. And so often people will get angry at the Department of Conservation because they don't like one little rule or regulation. But as my grandmother used to say, you know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
That's right. And you can't please everyone, because there's always, when you have someone that disagrees with one regulation, you got someone on the other side that's going to agree with it. You know, so you just got to, they're doing what they think is right.
Absolutely. But in your lifetime, you're what, about 40 years old?
39, yep.
39, so just had a birthday.
Yep, July 29th.
I'd sing to you, but that'd make you not want to have another birthday.
Yeah, we'll wait till next birthday. I'll have you. We'll both be back here. Hopefully,
I'll practice going down that. But even in your lifetime, you've seen such a progress. And I know, growing up on a Gasconade River, you were probably tickled to death to see the smallmouth regulations come along for the Gasconade.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, for sure. I love the regulations there. I wish I'm kind of the same on being on one side of the spectrum. On my section of the river, there's just a 12-inch length limit. I think that's way too small, because then people are going to be taking their – if honestly, I've told everyone this. I know a lot of great anglers, a lot. And if we all took our legal limit every single time we went out, we would deplete that fishery in just 12 to 15 months.
Yeah, it wouldn't take long, because you know what? The fishing's not only gotten better, but the anglers have gotten better too.
They have.
And you've really been able to take advantage of everything that's happened in the last several decades. Really? You were born in what year?
1979.
Johnny's making me feel ancient.
No, I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah, he's still wet behind the ears.
So what were you doing in 1979, Bill?
You
just graduated from college,
no,
maybe?
No, I had been superintendent of Merrimack Spring Park, and I left there, I think it was 78, and actually went to Bennett Springs. I was chief naturalist at Bennett Springs, supervised the naturalist at Montauk.
Okay.
And in March of 79, I went to work for UPS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's what I was doing.
Yeah. You retired from UPS as well.
But. Yeah, 5 years ago. Put in 34 years there. But I kept up, you know, a business on the side, the outdoor communications business, and now I get to work it full-time, man. Get to deal with people like you and John all the time. Well, I'm just having a good time.
I bet you are. That's going to be a good problem.
Well, I know you're having a pretty good time, too. You've been guiding now on the Gasconade for how many years?
10, going on 11. It'll be. Oh, yeah, this is 11. This is year 11 right here. I started in 2007.
So. Yeah, but you spent 39 years pretty much. I bet you started pretty young on the Gasconade fishing.
We started, you know, my family, my dad would take us down there to a gravel bar. Basically, it's the same section I took you and Milo on. And that
fabulous.
Gravel, it's where we ate breakfast. Where you made that breakfast was the gravel bar I grew up on as a child, going down there making bonfires and swimming and skipping rocks. That's it.
Well, I started paddle by that grab bar, but, you know, I kind of got a feeling there that must have been it. That was the place.
That was it. That was the spot.
Had a grand breakfast there.
It was amazing.
Yeah, and, John, I had stuff to make deer steak fajitas out on the river for lunch. These guys never stopped long enough to.
I tried talking to Milo into it.
Oh, that Milo.
He just wanted to keep fishing.
He wanted to keep fishing. I'd about starve to death, and these guys wouldn't stop to cook lunch. Well, Tommy Boy, we've eaten this segment up here already only because it's fun.
We have
time goes so fast.
It flies.
Yeah, we got some great things. Now I'm going to dangle a carrot in front of you in the next segment and talk about something a little bit different. And I'm going to talk about trip I just made on the Current River and some of the fishing situations down on Current. It quiz you a little bit. See how sharp you are on the Current River.
All right. Ready? Well, I think you may outwit me there.
Well, don't go away, folks. If you're traveling down the highway, keep that radio tuned in to 107.3 FM. Wild at Heart. I'm Bill Cooper and Tommy Bench. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart. This segment of our show is brought to you by Advanced Performance Shooting in Waynesville, offering classes on firearm use and safety. Tommy Bench, we're going to talk about a river, but it's not your river. You like to talk about the Gasconade all the time, but you know there are more rivers in the Ozarks than the Gasconade?
Well, I was almost unaware of that until you just brought it up. I'm a little blind to the fact that there's more than the Gasconade in the Ozarks. But.
Well, that's last weekend. What did you do this last weekend over the holiday?
Let's see. What did I do over this last weekend?
Probably went fishing.
Yeah. I don't remember a time I don't go fishing over the weekend. People just got to the point where they don't even ask if I went fishing. They just ask how the fishing was. So,
it's just kind of understood that you went fishing.
Of some sort.
Well, I did a little fishing this weekend. A group of us went down on Current River. And Brandon Butler, you know, the head honcho with the Conservation Federation of Missouri, has a cabin down on Sinking Creek, just a mile up from Current River. And we kind of gathered down there, and I knew there was an ulterior motive there, you know. We got to work on the cabin. Yeah, we hung up, actually, cedar plank boards up in the loft. Man, he's created such a cool cabin, lots of cedar in it. Old barn tin, you know, he's got on the roof and some places on the walls, and it's really shaping up, and it's a great place. But he does reward us. He leaves keys with the mayor of Happy Hollow.
Happy Hollow.
Yeah, there's all of 10 people living in that hollow probably, but little guy that lives way down on South 19, he's got a little place. I think he stays down in his cabin more than he does at home, you know. But he's always get a key, and he can get us in. In fact, Diane and I and her granddaughter went down for youth turkey season and stayed in that cabin and had a really great time. But anyway, there was a couple of Brandon's buddies that came from all the way from Indiana, childhood friends, I guess. And these guys drove 7 or 8 hours to get here. Got there like, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was up knocking around by 5, so I think I woke them up, made some coffee. That always wakes everybody up. But we got up and got our chores knocked out, worked pretty much on Saturday, although we did go downstream to a big hole of water, big rocks and short bluffs guys were jumping off of, and a few locals there, and just had a big time just laying in the water. And he has a black lab, too, that never quits, you know. He always wants you to throw a stick for him, man. In fact, I thought they was going to have to sew my arm back on. I threw that stick so many times. But some of them had snorkeling gear. Now, you're going to love this, Tommy. They swam down the creek and deeper part of the pool next to the bluff and actually found a hole back in the up in the bluff, and their smallmouth were stacked in this hole.
Wow.
And they said some of them, a couple 18, 20-inch smallmouth. Wow. But he said, looking at them, it took a moment to figure out what they were because they kind of had white lips, kind of what they could see first.
How far back in these holes were they, did they say?
I don't know, like a foot or two.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
But the hole looked like it went back away. So interesting stuff, you know.
It is interesting.
Just fun stuff. But we pedaled around, did a few things. Then about 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, we put 2 canoes and a big raft. And now this is a paddle raft. They used drift boat style.
Yeah, right.
All right, that Brandon kind of mans. And he had a guy. You got to meet this guy, Shags. He's a radio dude from up in Columbia. He's kind of a stand-up comedian, too. And he's a bit as tall as you are, Tommy, maybe a little bit more, real shaggy red beard, you know. And he wears one of these old hillbilly black hats. Remember those, John? And goes by Shags. But
Shags.
Shags, what a character, fishing fool. In fact, he wants to fish with you and talk about it on his radio show up there. And I can't tell you exactly how his radio show would go. I don't think it'd be exactly like ours. This guy really rattles some cages. He's had several death threats over there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he gets in some of the hard issues, John.
Hey, where does he live?
He's Columbia.
Columbia, okay.
Yeah. Huh. And Brandon Butler's real good friends with Shags. They hang, but what a guy. I deer hunted with him last year. We were way out in the hills. And we separated, went different directions, but I heard him shoot and finally hooked up with him. I had a UTV from Cowtown that I chauffeured him around in, but he come walking back a couple miles and told me he'd killed a pretty nice buck. And he said, boy, is it ever across a steep hollow? But luckily it was right on a power line. But I looked at that hollow and I wasn't sure even this UTV was going to go down and back up. And at one point, we're kind of sliding backwards a little bit. This thing was so steep. But he shot like close to 300 yards with a 243.
Wow.
And dropped this buck right in his tracks. Pretty phenomenal shot.
That is phenomenal.
But that's what he was used to doing out west. He come from Oregon, mm-hmm, and used to kill blacktails at long distances like that.
That's funny you bring that up because that's the exact opposite where I live. I'm used to, even with the firearm, I don't ever shoot more than probably 70 yards.
Yeah, we don't have
to. Real thick timber. Yeah.
Yep. He got out on a power line and he had all the deer cornered, I can tell you that. He could look both ways and see deer. And I had found the biggest buck I'd ever seen in my life in the Ozarks just the day before. It was 3 bucks running together. But I kind of, ATV kind of messed up my hunt that morning. Drove right past me and went around the corner a little bit and killed the smallest of the $3. So I think I had them coming my way, and he interrupted the whole process. But all part of it. But back to our float trip. Now, we kind of floated in water like you have on the Upper Gasconade. You know, it gets pretty skinny up there. Boy, we had real skinny water. In fact, I got land in front of me here. It's a float book. It's called A Paddler's Guide to Missouri, and it's list mile by mile.
I have that book.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
I love that book.
I do, too. I couldn't make it without it, I don't think. But in this book, it talks about Current River, and it says the highest practical put-in point is at Baptist Camp, which is a National Park Service access, or it was an access. It all got destroyed in the big flood of last year and really ripped it up. It took the concrete ramp and ripped it out of the ground, and I don't know where it went to. It's probably in Arkansas.
Sounds like our Jerome access.
Yeah, same sort of deal. Yeah. Really tore up the landscape there, and I don't think they're going to put that access back in. But anyway, that is supposed to be the highest practical put in. Now, sometimes we're not very practical. So we go a mile and a half above there and put in, right at Tanvad Hole, they call it, right outside of Montauk State Park. And a lot of people know Tanvad is a great trout fishery, you know. And Tanvad gets its name because back in the day, they used to actually go through some process right there, tanning hides. So that's why it got the name Tanvad.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but we take off in our canoes, and, boy, the water's skinny. There's lots of rocks and down trees. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I thought we were going to do a tremendous amount of dragging, you know. I had a little experience with that on the Gasconade, too.
Just a little bit. right out of the gate.
You're lucky you got breakfast, man.
I know. That's why we were running over there to help you.
Yeah,
we'll
you
lose
bet.
Out on this.
Hey, I was just about laying on my back like a turtle, John. I was so out of breath. Well, I had gone that way the previous trip, and the water had shrunk a little more on us, but still was an awesome trip. But anyway, I'm floating with the mayor of Happy Hollow. Now, this little guy, if he weighed 100 pounds soaking wet, it'd be a miracle. But tough as a pine knot. There's not an ounce of fat on him. And we were, you know, gone Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and didn't take off the river till Sunday afternoon, and all this guy ate in the whole time frame that I saw was a couple of little pieces of chocolate that I gave him late that afternoon. The guy just doesn't eat.
Wow.
I mean, I had, steak fajitas.
I like to eat.
I do too. I can't do that either. But no, I had steak fajitas that night, man, and next morning had sausage and scrambled eggs, and one of my favorites, cinnamon apple pancakes.
Oh, that sounds
delicious. I fried up a bunch of apples and butter and cinnamon, and then threw them on top of the pancakes, and then had Cool Whip to go on top of that.
You know, Tommy, I hate it when Bill does this time of the night.
I know. Yeah, it gets our mouth watered.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really cool when the drool starts out of the corner of your mouth there, John. He does the same thing with the banjo, though. Have you ever heard John play?
No.
Oh, he's got a group. What's your group called?
Dixie Union.
Dixie Union.
In fact, let's see, 2 weeks from this, if not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, we'll be at the Public House, three to six.
In
St. James. Yeah, St. James Public House.
Hey, I'll come out for that.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a fun time. So relaxing. Of course, the folks at the Public House just do a tremendous job. What an asset to St. James.
Oh, yeah.
And we're lucky to have them. We're even luckier when John shows up.
I guarantee it. It sounds like a good time.
It is. We just sit back and talk, tell a few fishing stories, of course, and just have a good time. But, yeah, I think I embarrassed John first time I saw him over there. I went up in front of the whole crowd and asked him for his autograph. Did it help, John?
Well, I kind of had to push Bill out of line, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Step aside, folks. Bill Cooper's here.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. But what a good time. But back to our Current River deal, it was an interesting group because we not only had Brandon Butler and Shags, the two boys from Indiana, we had a young biologist from the USGS. He's actually a fisheries biologist, worked up on the Missouri River and worked with the Asian carp problems on the Missouri River. So it was pretty interesting as well. And, of course, the mayor. I didn't know how things were going to go being with the mayor of Happy Hollow because he informed me rather quickly that he was not going to paddle.
Uh-oh.
I thought, this might be a long trip. Brandon had suggested I take a trolling motor, and I just had a great big one at home. I didn't want to deal with it. Then the mayor had one. He really wanted to take it, but I just didn't want to do a trolling motor. I wanted to float and paddle and drag my canoe. So we did all the above. But as it turned out, the mayor, what his problem was, he said, I've never even floated this section of the river because all my life I got to go down on the river and we take our old John boat. You like John boats?
I do.
We just turn that thing loose and it can go wherever it wants. It bumps and logs and rocks and bounces off and we just keep on fishing. And his theory was, hey, if we get in trouble, we just jump out.
I know the feeling. I've been there.
Just jump out and recover the boat when it decides to break loose. You know?
Yep.
But I got to tell you, Mr. Mayor was superb with a paddle. He hated canoes, he said. I don't know why. He could make one dance. Yeah. All the tight turns and the rocks. And we got hung up a time or two, but made that first section down to Cedar Grove all still intact, but from there on down, we'll talk about it a little bit in the next segment, but great time out on the current river. Tommy, man, this segment's gone, too. You're going to have to talk more in the next segment.
Yeah. Hey, I'm here listening to you, too.
You bet. I'm Bill Cooper. This is Wild at Heart. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart. This segment of our show is brought to you by Advanced Performance Shooting in Waynesville, offering classes on firearms use and safety. Well, Tommy, in the previous section, we were talking about Current River. I'm going to finish up that float trip. I hate to never finish a float trip. That's usually
bad. You've got to finish that.
That's usually bad news.
If
you haven't finished.
Leave people hanging like that.
Well, Saturday evening, boy, we had a gorgeous camp now. Big gravel bar, big turn zigzagging river, just log jams and piles. We had to get out and, you know, walk our boats through. And I'm cooking dinner, and Shag walks right over and catches about a 12-inch brown trout 10 feet from me.
You're kidding.
No. These guys, they pour it on me, you know. And he goes up river, and I keep cooking. But guys scattered out there was guys down river fly rodding and catching trout. You know, it's just a gorgeous scene, man. Big hills, big bluffs. Kind of like you have on a Gasconade, but just picture perfect. Campfire was awesome. Guys built a big roaring fire, and it got dark. And a young man from USGS, can't recall his name, but he borrowed a camera from Brandon and went over and sat down and, I guess, time-lapse. Got some incredible photographs of the fire and silhouettes of everybody. But John's a photographer, and behind that, John, he had the Milky Way.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'll have to post a picture of that.
I would love to see that.
So would I.
Yeah, if I can get him to send it to me.
Yeah.
Just incredible photographs, man. Got up early next morning, you know, had the big breakfast off the river. We went and we kind of scattered out. And the mayor and I just kind of plunked along, you know. We talked more than anything. He told some fabulous stories. But I got down river and we picked a spot. We thought we'd just sit for a while. And I had a little lunch. He didn't eat anything. Amazing man.
Mayor, he's the one you told that was the only thing he ate was a chocolate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple little bit pieces of chocolate late in the afternoon. But we sat there and talked for another hour or two, and I finally picked up a rod, and lo and behold, there were trout in the hole right in front of us. I caught three or four pretty quick. I should have been fishing the whole time. But wound up, man, and what a beautiful, beautiful part of the Current River. And I wouldn't recommend that everybody go up to that upper section because it had some tough spots on it. Most people, the tourists and all, tend to float further down. But, Tommy, we got another subject we need to cover, man. We got to talk and tell fishing stories and stuff, and time flies by. But the bowl season is starting.
Oh, I can't wait. September 15th. Everyone better be ready. Hope you're out there shooting your bows.
Better be, man, because it's closing in fast.
It's coming up.
I know you're a big bow hunter. You spend some time out there. How do you find? Do you quit fishing during bow season?
I have to find that happy medium. It's hard to manage that time, but I pretty much what I'll do is I'll hunt early, fish in midday, and then hunt late. That's what I prefer to do anyway. If I have my rathers, you know. Okay, so I'll go hunting right as soon as the sun comes up and hunt till about 9 o'clock. Be on the river by 9:30, and I'll be off about 2. That would be a perfect day for me if I could choose that. It don't always work out that way, but.
Well, I'm figuring out real quick, John, that his deer hunting spot is real close to his fishing
spot. Yeah, I'll bet it is.
Right? It is. It is. Well, I told you, I'm a homebody. Where I grew up, I fished the same property that I was born and raised on. So
that's incredible.
The same woods that I was playing in when I was 7 or 8 years old is the same trees that I'm climbing up.
He probably knows all the deer by their first name.
Probably so.
Yeah, I've seen them come and go.
But I used to drop on you when you're talking to other people, you know, because I know that you got some stuff in that head of yours. And I've heard you talk about some pretty nice bucks.
Yeah, I've shot some good ones. I mean, what I would consider good ones, a lot of people say they're good ones. And one in particular that comes to mind was a deer I nicknamed Jumbo for some reason.
Jumbo.
Or Dumbo, whichever you decide to call him.
You know, but he's a Dumbo.
Yeah, I wish he was. Maybe he was, because I missed him once and seen him again, and he was just late October. I love that Halloween, that time around Halloween. It seems to be the best for the bow season.
Oh, it starts to get magical there. And I think, you know, the Drury boys, I'm working for DeerCast now, they're so incredibly intelligent when it comes to deer. They've been at it for decades, you know.
Well, yeah, highly knowledgeable.
Yeah, such scientists. They gather information as DeerCast thing, for your phones, an app that you can get, and free right now. But incredible information on that. I can't believe the number of big deer they're posting. I'm writing for them for some kind of weird stuff, a little bit of deer stuff, but I'm talking trout fishing, fly fishing, and squirrel hunting, and mushroom hunting, and all. They're building a library, I suppose. But
it's a mixed bag of everything.
Yeah, but these guys are incredible, and they like big deer too, you know. Just like you do.
Oh, yeah. We all do. You know, that's what we're all after. And most of us, you know, some guys will say they're meat hunters. And I am too. You know, I'm a conservationist. And I try to just make an ethical shot. My main thing is, as an archer, as a bow hunter, most important thing to me is to make good shots and don't make, whether it be with a bow or with the firearms. I just don't, I'm a sure shot kind of person. If I think I could shoot that deer, but I'm not 100%, I won't even take the shot. I don't care if it's a 180-inch buck.
Yeah, exactly. And
ethical.
Diane had a real situation a few years ago up north. We were dealing with an outfitter that had like 6,000 acres. We were in media camp. She was the only lady there. And she's smart. You know, they'll kind of cater to the ladies when there's only one or two of them there. And this guy had actually held an area aside for her where there was like a 170 and 180 running together. Lots of soybeans in that country, small block of woods, and I actually watched her and the guide walk off and circle this patch of woods, and they come in from the backside. He gets her on the stand, and it wasn't 15 minutes later. I was watching the whole thing through my binoculars. This 180 walks out right out in front of her. Must have been vetted very close, but it's walking straight away from her, and you and I could have made the shot down through the back and through the lungs and the heart probably, but she wasn't confident with that shot, and she passed on that 180, which in her case was the right decision to make.
I applaud her for that.
Yeah, I do too. But how many guys would have passed that shot?
About 2%.
Yeah.
Speaking of bow hunting, that's what I was going to tell you. Another thing is I do live here, and I do hunt on my home property, but I am blessed to have a couple of good friends. Ron Hensley is a good friend of mine. He lives in Illinois.
Oh.
So I go hunt there. Actually, I give up our opening firearms weekend to bow hunt Illinois.
Well, I would too if I knew somebody in Illinois.
It's an amazing property.
Is it in Pike County?
No, I think it's better in Pike County. But
oh, I didn't know it got any better.
Well,
in Pike County.
I think Pike County has just got that reputation. But you know,
exactly.
Illinois in general is great. I was in awe the first time I ever hunted there. I've got about 165-inch deer that I seen the first morning I ever set there, and my heart's just pounding. And as soon as he comes in, I notice something's not right. And he's only got half a rack.
Oh.
But just based on if you put a mirror image, he'd have been 165-inch. I mean, he was a giant.
Wow.
As far as I was concerned with the deer where I'm used to seeing. And, you know, because 140s are pretty nice around here as far as I'm concerned. So it was it's pretty exciting to see him. So I just got my phone out and recorded him. Didn't take a shot because I just couldn't do it knowing that he would have
everything. Yeah, next year.
He could have gave someone the satisfaction, you know. So that's just a decision I made. So.
Yeah, and those And you know what? We get better at making those decisions as we mature, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
That's the word they use for getting old these days, John.
That'd be something my kids would say.
I'm real mature.
They think I'm old already.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, those kids, they even get to the stage there where they kind of get ashamed to be seen with you, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great kids. I know you've got great kids, and I've got great children as well. I still call them my babies, you know. But, yeah, bow hunting is so exciting, and so many tens of thousands of people will be out in the woods September 15th. And, of course, one of the things that we want to encourage them to do is to utilize those harnesses and be as safe as possible, because we listen to the sad, sad stories every year that we shouldn't happen to listen to. I even got mad at a couple of rider friends of mine who both knew better, written articles about, you know, tree stand safety, and one fell from 20 feet and one fell from about 30 feet.
Oh,
fortunately,
man.
Both of them lived, but the guy that fell 30 feet, I mean, wow, he was off work for close to a year.
It probably changed his life forever.
Oh, it did. He'll have issues to deal with. But the first guy that fell was my age. That's been 7 or 8 years ago. And, you know, he was a Navy pilot in Vietnam, shot down and followed all the procedures and escaping evasion, and managed to get picked up pretty quick. Like, and you think, boy, this guy's super sharp, had all the training in the world. Then he climbs up a stand behind his barn and no safety harness, goes to sleep and falls out.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. He just simply let his guard down, and it cost him dearly. Broke his back, ribs, punctured a lung, you know.
He's lucky he's alive, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But the second guy fell so far, just broke himself up so badly, and there's just no reason for it. The harnesses, you know, harnesses come with most stands that you buy. They're not the best in the world. I encourage people to buy these vest-type harnesses.
They've got some nice ones out. I think Gorilla makes one. And
yeah, I've got a Gorilla.
Yeah, they're nice. They're nice,
and they're not that expensive.
No,
particularly when you're talking about falling out of a tree,
save your life.
Yeah, possible injuries, and most of the injuries occur about 70 or 80% of them as people are climbing up and climbing down.
Yep.
And, you know, you're excited when you're going up because you want to get up there and get set and get ready for that big buck to come along. And coming down, sometimes just a little bit too much of a hurry, feet slip, that sort of thing. But now they've got a safety rope, too, that you can attach to your stand. And it slides up and down as you go. So you've actually, what I actually do is have a clip on my harness. I hook on steps as I go down because, you know, I'm not going to fall very forward to break a bone.
It don't take a whole lot to do that, especially falling out of a 20 or 30 foot.
Yeah, that's a very serious deal. And the saddest thing about all of it, you know, it's usually guys 40 years and older that fall out of stands. The younger guys seem to hang on pretty good.
Yeah, they do.
They do. But we get a little more lax, maybe overconfident as we grow older, and that's when sometimes things begin to happen. And, of course, as old guys, we don't bounce near as well as we used to either. So we've got to keep all that in mind. Tommy, man, we're coming up on break time once again. In the next segment, we're going to talk about a couple other things that are near and dear to our heart that are starting right away, teal season. And gigging season coming up as well. I'm Bill Cooper with Tommy Bench, and we'll be right back.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to Wild at Heart, your source of information for the Ozarks and a few points beyond. This segment is brought to you by Garb Trucking Equipment and the Outdoor Superstore, your Husqvarna dealer, located on the North Outer Road in St. James, and the Missouri Trappers Association, dedicated to preserving their heritage and skills of trapping. Well, Tommy Bench, I'll tell you what, this time of year of fall coming up on us, there's just so many things that happen in the outdoor at once. I'm always in a dilemma in the fall, trying to decide what I want to do first. You know, we just talked about bow season coming up the 15th. Teal season starts this Saturday on the 8th. Gigging season starts the 15th.
Right.
Just all kinds of things going on. Do you face the same dilemma every fall?
Oh, every year. The fall is my absolute favorite. I don't know if I've ever told you that, but I'm pretty
about 20 times.
Pretty open about it. I love the fall. I think the fall has just got everything going for it. You got cool temperatures. You got deer season. Some people are real big into fall turkey season. You have gigging season. You have, like you said, the teal. There's so many great things just going on in the fall. you get that break from that July and August heat, and you have deer season opening up. You haven't been able to get out there in the woods for how many months? So it's very exciting. And I was just talking to you all ago, I'm planning a trip this fall because, like I said, I try to do it all, as most as we can possibly do. I even told my brother, I said, we ought to go gigging and then camp out. And he's like, that's a lot of stuff to bring. I was like, yeah, I know, but it'll be great. So anyway, so
you should have seen our canoe on Current River this last week. This guy's, you have to bring that much stuff? I said, look, I'm bringing a whole kitchen, man.
That's right.
I had a 6-foot folding table, you know, and of course they all popped up tents, and I had a tent, but I never put it up. I just take my reclining camp chair, you know, and throw a tarp over. I threw a tarp over myself, stuck a paddle.
There you go.
Underneath it, just keep it off my face.
Yeah, there you go.
They're all making fun. I mean,
I just sleep in a tent cot.
Yeah, it worked for me. But you do have to take a lot of stuff. But I've learned over the years, man, I love to be comfortable in a camp out on the river.
Absolutely.
And if I'm floating by myself, I usually stop by 3 o'clock and. Oh, these guys, man, they went to like 7 o'clock, you know, with pushing the wire a little bit.
I've learned over the years you can't do that. Not to have a great setup, because what will happen is you'll run out of daylight. You know,
you're
trying to get firewood, or you're doing this, you're doing that, you're setting up your camp. You can't show up just an hour or two before daylight. You need to get to, like you said, 3 or 4 o'clock. 5 is pushing it. Now, you know, you need to get ready and set up camp.
Yeah.
I'd rather be sitting there ready before the sun falls than to be there scrambling around trying to get everything
set
up.
Yeah, that's it. I want to be ready. I want to have, you know, I get camp set up and then might fish a little bit more, but I got things ready for dinner, ready for the campfire. And but, boy, is it ever fun when you've got a nice, nice camp and you can see everything in the daylight instead of you're scrambling around after dark, and invariably your flashlight's going to die, you know, in the dark. It, just a cigarette lighter? Man, that makes for a lot of blisters on the thumb when you're trying to find everything.
Especially on a windy night.
Yeah, absolutely. But sound like you got a great family adventure planned.
Well, it's actually my extended family, I guess. I went to a small little school. So these friends of mine that I don't get to see a whole lot like I used to when I was in school, most of these are all 13-year students. I literally went to kindergarten and graduated high school. Like I said,
cool.
It's pretty neat. And we're getting this trip planned together. You know, a couple of my buddies, like I said, that I went to school with, and, of course, that was 20 years ago, but that's telling my age there. But, you know, Wade and Rex and Philip and a lot of these guys, like I said, have all these fond childhood memories of. We're getting all getting back together and going on this camping trip. You see that flathead I posted here about a month
or
so?
Yeah, I did.
Well, I've got all these spots set up for flathead fishing, already set up, ready to go. And the whole intention is we're going to go together. And the one guy, he doesn't get the smallmouth fish. He lives in Springfield, so he doesn't get around here much. So I'm really wanting to put him on some nice smallmouth throughout the day, throughout the whole weekend, for that fact. And then we're going to set up some limb lines and do some.
Well, I got a suggestion for him. Tell him at the beginning of the trip you have to swing him into the boat.
I will. Before you even hook it. Get it in the boat.
Yeah.
I'll just make sure and be right there with the net.
So. Yeah, you bet. You get photos that way.
Right. Yeah. I wish I had photos of that one you had. But, well, we're beating a dead horse here.
Well, I just made sure I didn't injure that fish. I wanted to leave him there for you for the next trip.
That was nice.
Have you caught him yet?
I appreciate that. No. No, I have not. I would have known if I caught him. But every time I go by there, there's not a second I don't think about it. That's the section we're going on, by the way.
Oh,
so maybe one of us will.
I hope so. And maybe you'll have a little fall color, you know, for a backdrop for the photograph for that big fish.
I hope. It's
unbelievable. You catch that fish, I won't be the first one that hears about it.
Oh, you will. I'll send it to you before anyone else knows.
There you go.
But it's amazing how many people look at my photos so intensely.
Oh,
They'll make comments about what time of year. And I can't lie because they're already dissecting it in the background saying, well, there's no leaves on the trees, so I know it can't be summer. What the heck? You're already looking that deep. And then I've had other people tell me they literally zoom in on my picture to see what I have tied on.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I've learned to hide some of that stuff.
You're starting to sound like Corey Cottrell. I've badmouthed him for decades because I float with him. He's right up there with you when it comes to smallmouth fishing.
Yeah.
He grew up on the Hoosaw just like you did on the Gasconade, knows every rock and every fish, I think. But over the years, he's been a tough one to photograph because he always takes that lure out of the mouth. On the Hoosaw, a couple of years, says, please put that bait back in that fish's mouth so I can, you know, show people what you caught it on. And I took a couple photos, got home, looked at it. Yeah, he put that bait back in a fish's mouth, but he had it covered up with his hand. Yeah. I still couldn't see it.
Yeah, he's learned some tricks of the trade, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, great guy.
I'm not too particular on the lures anymore. I kind of want people to know what I'm catching on. Catch my fish on anyway. That way, you know, it helps. You know, I like to teach other people. That's the main reason why I wanted to, you know, help make small little videos on presentations on how to present something in particular, because people always say, well, I know you catch fish, but how do you do it?
So. Exactly. And that's where, hey, the trick comes in, because I know I used to fish for my dad as a kid, set the opposite end of a 10-foot boat, you know, using the exact same bait, and my dad would catch all the fish.
Yeah.
I'd be lucky if I caught one or two, you know, and he'd catch a boatload. So there's a lot to be said for presentation. And all I could figure out on my dad, I said, Dad, you just stink. You got a individual odor that you rub off on the baits, and that's why fish bite your lures, not mine. That's the best theory I could come up with.
You had to come up with something.
But a lot of times it's just very minor details that make the difference in a good fisherman and a not-so-lucky fisherman.
I agree.
And
yeah,
I've watched you in detail on the Gasconade, how you handle your equipment, how you wiggle that rod, how you move. It all makes a difference in the presentation. And you know that more so than myself.
Right.
But when you get on a client out who hasn't fished a lot, do you really give them a lecture about that, or you just demonstrate?
I try to demonstrate. What happens is, most of the time, I'll just kind of let them take off on their own to see how they're presenting it and what they're doing wrong. And I'll make suggestions if I think that the reason why they're not catching them is because they're not presenting it right. Like, they're reeling in a jig that's supposed to be drug on the bottom, not like
right.
a spinner bait. You know, simple things like, you know, I like to use that real slow on the bottom. You know, subtle hints to say, you know, maybe slow it down. I think we'll help you out. But other than that, I don't do a whole lot. I just kind of feel them out. And if they're not doing it, I'll just start figuring it out on my own, you know, see if I can figure it out. And then once they see me catch the fish, they know it was the way they know they're there. They just got to duplicate what I just showed them.
Exactly. And most people will take that to heart. But you do get the occasional person who likes to guide the guide.
They do. Yeah, that happens. You get the occasional person that does that, but it don't happen. Thankfully, it don't happen a lot. So
that's true, because most people are out there to have a good time, and of course they do. Everybody likes to catch fish, and of course, the bigger fish you catch, the bigger the tails you've got to tail, and that's all part of it. Well, where do most of your clients come from, Tommy?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know what it is about St. Louis. From the explanation they've given me over the years, it's just a straight shot right down the interstate. Because
sure.
I told you, I live right off the interstate. Yeah. Matter of fact, where I bow hunt on my family's property, my back is about 50 yards away from the interstate. So if any video you ever see me of a deer walking by, or you'll hear the rumble strips, semis going by, it's kind of funny, really. But I'm used to it, and I guess the deer are used to it. They live their whole life. So.
Absolutely. One of the funniest situations I ever saw happen like that. Di and I got drawn into one of these hunts at one of the state parks is Pershing up north, and the block of timber that we were hunting was right off of a big highway, big two lanes going both ways. I don't think it was an interstate, but still big highway. And she just got on the phone and said she'd seen about 15 deer go by. She said they're headed towards the highway. Then we hear semi horns honking and tires squalling, you know.
I can relate.
Yeah. And she said, oh my gosh, I wonder how many of them they ran over. And she called me back a couple minutes. Oh, all 15 of them made it. They're coming back. And they're coming by you, you know.
Yeah.
And boy, there was a monster of a buck in that group, and they stopped within 40 yards of me. Of course, we weren't allowed to kill bucks. We could kill three does, but I had just shot the biggest deer of my life, which was a big doe. And I couldn't drag it, and I wound up gutting it out and took off with it. It was doing okay, but I was already so tired dealing with that, because every 40 yards I had to go down the ditch and back up. It was on a flat, but I'm telling you, I was wore out, and I'm thinking, I'm not shooting another deer, you know, so I stood there and watched these 15 deers feed around 40 yards from me, and they finally wandered off, and I resumed my drag.
That's why you take an ATV with you now, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can't run them in that park.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
I mean, it's all.
Didn't think about that.
Yeah, and I actually went back to a little town and got a little plastic sled, came back and rolled my deer up on it and drug it out that, and Diane wasn't feeling well. She stayed at the motel, so I finally got my deer out to my truck, and y'all got that high truck, and I couldn't get it up on the tailgate. I'm laying there in the grass wondering what I'm going to do, and this big kid walks up, and he says, sir, you need some help? And I said, boy, I sure do. He just grabbed it by the four legs and set it up on the tailgate.
And wow.
He's telling me, he said, well, you don't need to feel bad. There's a whole slew of us guys, and we got 13 of them down back across the creek from you. And those boys were like till almost 11 o'clock that night getting all those deer out of there.
Oh, wow.
But, boy, I don't need that minute. Hey, it's time to take another break, Tommy. We're going to be heading into the last segment here in just a few minutes, and we're going to resume this discussion just a little bit, and we're going to get into Tommy Bench's feelings a little bit. I'm Bill Cooper. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Wild at Heart with the latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back. I'm Bill Cooper, and you're listening to Wild at Heart. This segment of our show is brought to you by Salty Jack's Bar and Grill in Eminence, located on the crystal clear Jacks Fork River, and by State Farm Insurance Agent Michelle Beckett and Sullivan, helping life go right. I love it when things go right, especially when we're fishing, Tommy Vince.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Well, Bob, we've talked about a number of topics this evening. In last segment, we were kicking around teal season and gigging and all those sorts of things that are coming up. And, hey, teal season, I'm gonna be over at CNR Outfitters early Saturday morning, sitting on a slough or a pond or a lake or a river or something or a swamp. They got it all over there, so hopefully teal are coming in hot and heavy. I heard from Nick Girondo today. Mm-hmm. You know Nick. He's the biologist over on the Gasconade, I think, in your segment there. But Nick's kind of been keeping an eye out for teal for me. And he saw some this last weekend up on Mark Twain Lake. So they're coming. And another buddy, Damon Spurgeon, told me he'd seen some over on Little Prairie. And we saw some two weeks ago on Four Rivers Conservation Area, which joins CNR. So, hey, those little rascals are moving. I just hope they show up Saturday morning. It's supposed to cool up a little bit. That'll help the situation. Yeah, they're so much fun to hunt. And what's going to be so much fun about this hunt, none of those guys have ever duck hunted before.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, so they're going to be in for a very good time.
So where is the CNR located at again?
Rich Hill, Missouri. It's right on the... Yeah, it's about an hour south of Kansas City.
Okay.
And they're about 15 miles from the Kansas border, I guess. I know it's only about 30 minutes to Fort Scott, is it, over in that part of the world? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 8,000 acres.
That's a lot of property.
Yeah, lots of corn and soybeans and just interspersed with tree lines and swamps and ponds and all that sort of thing. Some good blocks of woods. And lots of big deer, Tommy.
Oh, sounds like it. I could imagine there's some giant deer there, I would say.
Well, they're going to be disappointed if somebody doesn't kill a 200-inch deer this year.
Deer of a lifetime.
Yep.
Deer of a lifetime.
I hope somebody scores. Well, Tommy, you know, we've talked about a lot of things tonight, and you probably don't realize how I set you up for this job.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all come to light now.
Yeah. When we fished together and we talked together, did some articles together, it didn't take me long to figure out that you were the real deal. You were a very dedicated outdoorsman and have done well in the outdoors. But you got some dreams, some things that you have hoped to try to accomplish, and things are starting. The stars are starting to align for you, I think.
They're starting to line up, aren't they?
Yeah, it takes a while though, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You got to put your time in, I think. And you know, I just told my best friend Justin the other day, I talked to him quite frequently, and I said, I never would have dreamt that I would have, you know, I'd be a host of an ESPN radio show before I was 40, you know, and here I am 39. It's close. And now here I am getting this opportunity. So it's pretty special. It's surreal. So.
It is. And these guys here at ESPN 107.3, I don't think you find anybody anywhere any better to work with. John here, I tell you, he's saved my skin a number of times, you know. But he's always full of suggestions and so positive, you know.
I like suggestions.
Yeah, he's just fun to be around. And, I think we do a pretty decent job, but he always makes it better.
Hey, the feeling's mutual, Bill.
Well,
absolutely.
I understand that. We've had some good camaraderie and had some good times together. Even made a couple little short trips together, you know. and just been fun. And besides that, we get to talk about his music once in a while too, you know. Mm-hmm. But I know this is kind of a dream come true for you. I was in radio previously a long time ago for about 10 years, and I planned on being here for a long time, but just had a couple other opportunities come up that I just couldn't turn down. And, you know, there's so many hours in a day.
That's right. There's only so many days in a week and only so many months in a year.
Exactly. And I just couldn't pass up these opportunities. But I'm gonna miss being here. I hope you'll let me come back once
anytime
while.
You want. Right back in the captain's chair, too.
Well, it probably won't happen that often because I'm going to be extremely busy. But I'll be listening to you guys or trying to stay up with what's going on over here. But you've got such a varied background as an outdoorsman. You know, you hunt a number of animals, and of course I know smallmouth are the big thing with you, but looking down the road at this radio program and the opportunity that's come up here, what are you really hoping to accomplish?
I don't just probably pretty much the same thing that you have or that you've started, or you know, that this station has, you know, this program has done. I like to educate people. My biggest thing is to educate people and spread the word of anything I think is important for conservation or anything locally in particular, you know, that'll help. You know, that'll help our smallmouth population or our deer herds or our turkey or whatever it is. You know, give people tips from people that know a lot more than I do in particular, you know, sure. For example. So when I know that's just every year they just find buckets full of morels, you know, maybe see what they think about the giving people tips on finding these mushrooms, just giving an example. That's just educating people, I think, is a big deal. Like I said earlier, a lot of people see my pictures and my posts and hear me talk, and they know that I catch fish or that I shot a deer, harvested a deer, whatever it was, but they want to know how you did it. You know, and educating people on how you did it, the work you put into it. It wasn't like you just fell into it. Just like I've heard for years, so-and-so is going to be a guide on the Gasconade because they've seen Tommy Bench doing it and getting all these people from him. And I said, go for it, because they have no idea how much hard work I put over the years to get
you hit the nail on the head. Well, I think you hit two nails on the head there. First thing you mentioned was education. And it's absolutely paramount that we do that. That's whether we realize it or not, that's why we're here, because we've got good, solid, long-term information mm-hmm. that we've stored in this little bit of gray matter that we've got that we can share with people. And I'm telling you, sometimes this stuff snowballs on you. When people find out how much you do have in that head of yours, you're going to get invites to do other things. One of the coolest things I get to do every year, St. James School System has me in for a Missouri day that they have. And I kind of threw them a loop last year. I talked about fishing in Mexico. but the kids absolutely loved it. You know, I had all the fly rods from the little bitty things up to 12 weights and had a PowerPoint going with the fish and animals that you see down there. But, Tommy, I think I'm going to talk a lot about smallmouth this year.
You should. That's
Your photos might show up in the PowerPoint.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to use any photos I have. You know that.
I've got them, so I'm going to use them for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, getting back to this dream that I have, I love the outdoors with a passion. You know that you've seen that. Obviously, you just told me that you know, you realize that without me having to say it. You know, my actions just spoke louder than my words did. But growing up, I wanted to be a conservation agent so bad. Not necessarily an agent, but a fisheries biologist in particular, because I love to learn and educate myself and whatnot. Well, life happened. Of course, I had children, and I couldn't, in order to get my degree, I would have to go to a campus at that point, and I wasn't going to leave my family to do that. So I ended up becoming a fishing guide instead. So now here we are.
Well, we all go through those phases, and I almost became an agent at one point, but I was wanting to get into their outdoor education section. And, man, so many people apply for those jobs. When I was applying back, that was about 70. Now, well, 78 was the year before I went to work for UPS, and they had 17 jobs available. 1,425 people applied for 17 positions. They interviewed over 400.
Wow.
And a year after the interview, in the meantime, I went to work for UPS. A year after the interview, they called me and told me I had one of the positions.
Like you could wait that long to.
Yeah. You know, they offered me a job as an agent, but I did not want to be an agent. I wanted to get into their outdoor education section because I have a master's in education, but at that time they required a teacher's certificate. I didn't have a teacher's certificate, but they let me become an agent and then transfer in a year into that department. which strange and worried me a little bit. But long story short, I declined and kind of took my own route, and I'm glad I did. This worked out very well for me.
Literally, your own route on UPS.
UPS and in the course of outdoor education as well, and this worked out beautifully for me. But another thing you mentioned is sticking with it. I've had dozens and dozens of young men over the years ask me, how have you done it? How have you stayed active in the outdoors and had this career for almost 50 years now? I said, sticking to it through the thick and the thin, because not a lot of money to be made, but boy, there's a lot of happiness.
A
lot of cool people like yourself that I've met, got to fish with and spend time with, and boy, it's just incredible adventure.
I'll say it again, and I've said this a million times, but I've learned way more from just being around other people than I have any other way. Being around people like yourself.
Absolutely. But, folks, I want to tell you, you got to get ready for Tommy Bench, because we'll be doing a program again together next week. And after that, he's on his own. It's going to be exciting.
There you go.
All right. Wild at Heart is heard live every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 with a repeat Sunday morning from 8 to 10. The show is produced in the studios of ESPN 107.3 in Rolla and engineered by John Francis. We'd like to thank our guests today. We had in Delbert Click from the Gasconade Fishing Club, and Ryan Walker from the Smallmouth Alliance,
Ozark Smallmouth Alliance.
It's different from the Smallmouth Alliance in Missouri. And, of course, always Ray I and Tommy Bench. What a job you did today, Tommy. But don't forget, you
can always
listen to a podcast of this show. Just go to our website at ESPN1073.com. Click Programming and Wild at Heart. I'm Bill Cooper. And for Tommy Bench, our future host of Wild at Heart, thanks for listening.
Wild at Heart on ESPN 107.3, powered by Cowtown USA, Colton Steakhouse and Grill, J. Cook Fly Rods, The Outdoor Superstore, Shady Lane's Cabins and Motel, Advanced Performance Shooting, Missouri Trappers Association, Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, and State Farm agent Michelle Beckett. The latest in outdoor recreation from the Ozarks and points beyond. Wild at Heart, 4 p.m. Wednesdays and 8 a.m. on Sundays on ESPN 107.3.